Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
I better get into this. All right, I want to share with you today. Pastor Josh has been preaching brilliantly over the last couple of weeks. And 2 weeks ago, he preached on the Miracle Cookbook and then the Miracle Guidebook. Today, I want to preach to you a message called the Miracle Scrapbook. And, you know, I don't know if many of us have scrapbooks these days. Probably not. It's all sort of electronic. But maybe, is it Pinterest? Is that something like that, right? I'm so up to date. It's awesome. You know, a scrapbook, you might put sort of keepsakes in there, maybe cool quotes that you've heard, maybe photos from the past. But one of the main things you use it for is to put in there things that you are believing for in the future, that you're expecting to see in your life. And, you know, I want to encourage you as a believer that God wants us to have a scrapbook, maybe not a physical one, but a spiritual one. He wants us to have big things that we're believing Him for. Do you know, as a believer, it's okay to dream. It's okay to dream for big things for your marriage, for your family, for your career, for your health. I actually believe that God loves it when we do. I believe He loves it when we believe that He is who He says that He is and He can do what He says He can do. Amen. I believe that pleases Him. And so my encouragement, I hope is as you leave today that you'd walk out of this place having your faith elevated and your excitement for what God is going to do in your life increased. And so I want to share with you from 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through to 7. And here we're introduced to a woman who is in desperate need of a miracle. It says, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor has come to take my two boys as his slaves.' And Elisha replied to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' 'And the servant has nothing there at all,' she said, 'except a small jar of olive oil.' And Elijah said, 'Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side.' She left and she shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another one.' But he replied, 'There are no jars left.' And then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil, pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left.'" Now, in this passage, we're introduced to a woman who's in desperate need of a miracle. We don't know how, but it seems that her husband has passed away, and he was obviously the provider of the family financially, and through his passing, now she's left with a great debt that she cannot pay. And as was the custom in those days, if you owed someone money that you couldn't pay, they were within their rights to take your children to come and work for them as compensation. And so here's this woman in desperate need. She's just lost her husband, and now she's about to lose her two sons as well. And all she can think of in that moment is to throw herself at the man of God and say, "Can you help me? I don't know what to do." And so she does this, and Elijah looks at her and says, "Well, how can I help you?" And he's thinking, "What can I do?" And then God begins to speak to him, and he says to her, "Well, what do you have in your house?" And she's like, "Well, I have a little oil in a jar." And so Elijah says to her, "Fantastic, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go around, and I want to ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Get as many as you can." He says, "Don't ask for just a few." I love that. He's saying to her, "Hey, what God's about to do isn't going to be something small. Don't expect God to just do something average. Expect that God is about to do something awesome in your life." He says, "Don't ask for just a few." And so she goes around to her neighbors and she gets as many jars as she can. She brings them home, closes the door behind her and her sons. And she takes what seems like an insignificant little jar of oil, and she begins to pour into those empty vessels. And as each jar comes along, the oil just keeps flowing. Miraculously, God multiplies the oil so that it fills every single jar that she asked for. And as soon as all the jars are filled, the oil stopped flowing. And I share that story with you today because I want you to recognize that when we look at the miracle that God performed here, there was only one limitation on the miracle. And it was simply what the woman was bold enough to ask for. It was only what the woman was bold enough to ask for. God had commanded the oil to keep flowing until all the jars she had asked for were full. That tells me if she had asked for more jars, they would have been filled too. The only limitation to the miracle was what she was bold enough to ask for. I want to remind you today, we serve a miracle-working God. We serve a supernatural, all-powerful God. He's an awesome God. He can do great things. But here's what I appreciate is that it's one thing to confess it. It's another thing to experience it. Amen. It's easy to confess, but sometimes there's a disconnect between the confession and the experience, isn't there? And I think sometimes, maybe we think that's because we're not deserving of it. Perhaps God doesn't know what's going on in our life. But I don't think it's those things. I think maybe it's just simply because we don't ask. Or if we do ask, we only ask the equivalent of just asking for a few. In other words, our requests, maybe they don't exercise the boldness of faith that we actually have the opportunity for them to do. You see, I wonder if the widow, maybe in a quiet time one day, sitting down, and I wonder if she ever thought to herself, I wonder what would have happened if I just asked for a few more. I wonder what would have happened if I'd just been bold enough to ask for just a few more jars. You see, Paradise Campus, I have this nagging suspicion that sometimes we don't ask or believe God for things that come anywhere near to what He's capable of actually doing. You know, the Bible clearly tells us, Ephesians 3:20, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all, way beyond anything we could ask, think, or imagine. And you know, I just say Ephesians 3:20, and before I even say the verse, most of us in this room could already quote it because we already know it off by heart, right? And yet, even though we know that, so often our prayer requests come down to just praying for God, give me a great car park. Nothing wrong with a great car park, right? At Christmas shopping, I'm like, God, give me a great car park at the front. Thank you, Jesus. You're awesome, right? But if that is the extent of our requests, I think we're missing out on the opportunity that our relationship with God actually affords us, amen? You know, a little while ago, an awesome friend of mine gifted me with a MacBook computer, right? A MacBook Pro laptop. Man, I was blown away. And I received this laptop and I'm like, this thing is awesome. This is an awesome machine, right? This thing can process stuff at a level I never could. It can do multiple applications, run thousands of programs. I mean, it is awesome, right? It can do incredible things. And yet, you know, often I find myself using it as nothing more than what I could probably do with a piece of paper and a pen, right? Anyone know what I'm talking about, right? And the thing is, here's this computer. It can do these amazing things. It's got the power to do things that I could never do. Right? It's got so much potential, yet my experience of it is so limited simply because I'm asking so little of it. And I thought about that. And I thought, you know, I wonder if the engineers at Apple, who spent, you know, years developing that computer, investing time, energy, resource, and thinking, how can we get it to do this? How can we get it to do that? How can we make it run faster, calculate more? How can we get it to do all these extreme things? I wonder if those engineers ever look at people like me using their laptop. There's nothing more than really like a bona fide typewriter. And go, man, that's disappointing. That's disappointing. Doesn't he realize it could do so much more than that? And then I thought to myself, I wonder if God ever feels that way. I wonder if God ever looks at my faith and he says, Tony, what on earth are you doing? I wonder if he ever looks at my faith and the way I handle situations and ever wants to say to me, you know that I can do that, right? You know that I can take care of that for you, don't you? You know that there's nothing too big for me, don't you, Tony? You know that I have the power to turn that around? You know that you don't have to do that in your own strength? Did you forget that I was your healer? Did you forget that I was your provider? Did you forget that I am your creator? I believe sometimes God says to me, hey, Tony, don't you remember that I showed you all through my word what I'm able to do, that I put it on the hearts of men to spend weeks, months, years writing it all down, because I knew that one day you would be in this very position and all you had to do was open up my word and see that I'm the same God back then I can do it again. Have you forgotten who I am? You know, when I think about that, it does make me stop and ask myself the question, what am I believing God for lately? And is what I'm believing Him for actually a good representation of the power that He has and who He says that He is? You know, in 2 weekends, we'll gather around together and we'll celebrate Easter, right? And we'll be reminded of the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And we'll celebrate that. And the Bible tells us that it's the same power that lives inside you and I. The same power that we carry around with us wherever we go. Why would God put that power in us? Just to be dormant? He's put that power in us. The same power that changed the world forever lives inside you and I. How often are we tapping into that power? How often are we activating a faith that exercises that power? Can I encourage you, Paradise Campus? God will never, ever be intimidated by your faith. You know that? He'll never be intimidated by your faith. You can never ask God for something according to His will that He'll go, whoa, I wasn't prepared for that one. I don't know how we're going to, let's have a committee meeting. I'm not sure how we're going to do that one. Maybe we need to contract that out. Like, God would never do that, right? Because everything is possible for God, right? Here's what happened. When everything is possible, easy and hard no longer exists. Do you realize that? You know that easy and hard only exists where there's a scale of limitations? So, because we often have requests of God, or we have things that we need, and we sort of categorize them in our own mind, don't we? We sort of go, this is an easy thing for God. Man, this is such a big thing. I've got to work so much harder to see this happen. And God's like, hang on a sec. Didn't you know that everything's easy for me? Because nothing's impossible for me. So how can there be easy or hard? There's no easy or hard. There's just obtainable. Right? Everything is possible. Right? It is easy and hard for us because we are limited. Not all things are possible. For the one who is, all things are possible. Everything's obtainable. Amen? Doesn't matter what you're believing for, God can do it. You know, I know for numbers of you in this room, that's an exciting thought, right? That's awesome. You're like, you know what? I need to start believing for bigger things for my marriage. I need to believe for bigger things for my work, for my business, for my career, for my family, for my health. I need to start believing because I serve a big God. And you're like, this is awesome. Come on. But I also understand that for some of us, that's a challenge, right? That we want to, but that's challenging because we did that once before. I stepped out in faith. I believed God for something big in the past, and it didn't work out the way that I thought that it would. And when that happens, that's hard to reconcile, isn't it? That's hard to get peace about, because you're like, well, what I asked was totally reasonable and totally within God's will and ability, and yet it didn't happen. And we're like, it's hard for me to compute that. Why didn't it happen the way that I thought it did? And so the thought of then reactivating your faith again and finding yourself in that same place, that's scary. And it's like, I don't know if I can do that. And I appreciate that. There's been things that I've prayed for and really believed for, and I didn't see them happen the way that I hoped they would either. And I'm sure for you to go around this room that many people would relate to that. But here's what I've learned in those times, and this certainly wasn't easy. But I've learned is that we have to be okay at times with God doing or not doing things and us not understanding why. And we have to be okay with the understanding that when those things happen that we don't understand, that even though we might want an explanation, God isn't actually obliged to give us one. Probably one of the most challenging passages of Scripture, I think, for me at least, is in Romans chapter 9. In this passage, the writer of Romans, Paul, he's using the illustration of where God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he wouldn't let the Israelites go, which enabled then God to rain down 10 plagues upon the Egyptians to display his power. And then his heart was softened, and then he let the people go. And Paul, the writer of Romans, is using this illustration to discuss the authority and the sovereignty of God. And he says this in Romans chapter 9, verse 17 to 21. He says, "For Scripture says to Pharaoh, 'I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth.' Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden." Well, then one will say to me, "Well, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? What shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?' Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use?" And this is what Paul's saying, and this is the challenging thing. He's saying, yes, you get to be in this loving relationship with God. Yes, you get to be adopted into his family. Yes, he wants the absolute best for you. But at the end of the day, we can never forget that he is the creator and we are the created. And in understanding that, we have to appreciate that sometimes God is going to do some things that we don't understand. And even when we don't understand them, we have to, in light of the understanding that we are loved by him and that he is working all things out for good, be okay with it. Because he's the creator and we are the created. Right. So here's what you don't want to do. If you find yourself in a place where you believe for something and it didn't work out the way you want, here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to allow the enemy to use that to stop you believing in God again. Right. Because he will. He will take that thing and he will twist it and he will manipulate it and he will make you think that God doesn't care, that God doesn't love you, that God's not interested in your problem or your situation, and he would love nothing more than for you to never activate your faith again. That would bring him so much pleasure because he's not intimidated by a Christian who doesn't activate their faith. So he wants you to stay trapped in that place. But I want to encourage you. I know that it's hard. I know that it's difficult. I know that it might take everything in you, but do not allow your faith to become a victim of past disappointment, because the only one who's going to miss out is you. The only one who's going to miss out is you, your family, your marriage. The enemy wants you to hold back because he knows the power that your faith has and what it can activate, what it can release in your life. Do not allow what has happened in the past disappointment, to cause you to be a victim of that. But let your faith be activated. Would you be willing to believe again? Would you be willing to believe him again? If you need some encouragement, just look back on how good he's been to you. Just, you know, I think I shared this a couple of weeks ago on a Friday night. I was saying, you know, if you need some testimony to encourage you, just look in the mirror. Look at yourself. Because I know where I'd be if it wasn't for God. I know where I would be. Let me tell you, I wouldn't be here. I'd be in a dark place, amen? So when I need encouragement, I'm just reminded, hang on, look at what God has done in my life. Look at what he's done in my life. He's been so faithful. He's been so good. I could never have got to this place in my own effort or strength. Impossible. Impossible. But by his love and his grace, my life has been changed forever. And I'm still on the journey of being changed. But I can look back and go, wow, look how faithful God has been to me. Allow that to be the thing that stirs your faith. Allow that to be the thing that causes you to lift yourself up. David said that he encouraged himself in the Lord. when no one else was encouraging him. Everything was coming against him. He took a moment to silence himself. And I believe that he pulled back on the past victories that God had given him, the things that he'd done. And he allowed that to be the thing that stirred his heart so that he could get up and put one foot in front of the other and keep moving forward, because he knew there was more territory to take. He knew there was more things that God had for him, and God has more things for you. God has great things ahead of you. God is not finished with you yet. If you are still breathing, God still has great things for your life, greater than the days that are behind. Paul says, I don't look behind, but I look ahead, and I keep stretching forward to take hold of that for which God has took hold of me. Amen. I believe that you honor God and what he's done for you when you don't settle, but you keep reaching forward. You keep stretching forward. You keep trusting in him. Amen. And we are taking territory back in the name of Jesus. Would you believe again? The band can come back. I'm almost done. Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10, we read probably one of the most audacious requests of God in all the Bible. If you're familiar with the story, you appreciate that this is the time where Joshua and the Israelites have started taking down enemy camps in the promised land. They're taking the territory back. They've taken over Jericho, they've defeated Ai, and now they're starting to get a reputation. The other city, enemy cities around the place are actually fearful of them. They're like, you know, they're afraid they're going to come their way. And so they start thinking, what should we do? So they start scheming, and they decide, you know what, let's create a mega army. So five enemy armies join together. And they say, if we can't beat them on their own, let's join forces, and perhaps our numbers will be enough to defeat them. So they join together, and they strategize and they plan, ready to destroy the Israelites. Fortunately, Joshua gets wind of this. He hears about it, and he doesn't wait to be attacked. Instead, he decides to go on the front foot and attack the enemy first. And it says that he took his army, and all through the night, they went to a place called Gibeon. And in the first light of day, they surprise attacked this mega army, and they begin to destroy them because God was fighting for them. And the enemy begins destroyed, and they start to flee. And people, it says that they flee into the valley. And Joshua, not just satisfied with just scaring them off, he's like, no, I've come to destroy the enemy and take him down. And so he takes some guys, and they start pursuing the enemy through the valley. And they're running after them, they're pursuing them. And as the day goes on, the Bible says the sun begins to start to set. And in that moment, Joshua realizes, I've got a choice here. The day is coming to the end. I can't fight in the dark. I can't pursue them in the dark. Well, perhaps, you know, this is enough. We've had a good victory. We've destroyed a lot of them. We've scared off a whole bunch of them. You know, let's just celebrate where we've come. Many would have done that, but not Joshua. Joshua said, I haven't yet completed the assignment God has given me. And in that moment, Joshua stops. And the Bible says that he looks up to heaven and he prays this prayer that seems outrageous. He says, Son, stand still. And the Bible says that in that moment, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a whole day. Isn't that amazing? Sun, stand still. Boom. It stops for a whole day. The Bible says he goes on, he destroys the enemy in entirety. But here's why I shared that with you today, because I want to encourage you that the same God Joshua served, the same God we serve today. And I believe that God is still wanting to grant those requests if only we would be bold enough to ask. Amen? Amen. Come on, we serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. I want to encourage you today, whatever you're believing God for, increase it right now. Whatever you are believing, because so often we just settle into just praying just for enough. God, if you would just do this thing for me, that'll be enough. That will get me through this month. If you're just able to help me in this area, that'll be enough, and I'll never ask you for anything again. And God's like, why are you asking me only for minimum? Why are you asking me only for just enough when I'm a God of more than enough? I'm a God who can do over and above anything you could ask, think, or imagine. He's saying, don't allow your faith to settle. Don't squander your faith. Start to dream again. Believe again. Believe God for great things again. He's an awesome God. You know, I love this prayer. Son, stand still. It's not articulate. You know, it's not fancy. No, I think sometimes I think we've celebrated the articulation of prayer more than the heart of prayer. I think we've looked at people and we're like, wow, they're an amazing prayer because they can pray out loud for 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Wow, they've got the gift of prayer. And God's, what did God's word say? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, right? Because I do that myself. But God's word did say, don't babble on like those other people. Just tell it straight to me. I already know what you need anyway. I've realized, and this has been a revelation to me, and I'm sure you know this already, but I've often prayed to God, and God's like, actually, that's actually not the situation. And I realize, oh yeah, you actually know it better than I do. I'm trying to tell him what the situation is, and he's like, you haven't even understood the situation. You're trying to tell me what to do and what's right, and he's like, nah, that's not it. Just say you need my help. Just say you need my help. He's our ever-present help in a time of need, amen? Just say, God, I need your help. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do in this situation. You know what I love? He says, sun, stand still. Do you know what? The sun actually doesn't move. It's the earth that spins. What he prayed wasn't even right. Right? But God knew his heart, right? God knew his heart. I don't know what to say. God's like, that's not even right, but I'll get your heart. All right, come on, let's do this thing, all right? Don't get caught up in thinking, oh man, what is it? Just in your heart, say, God, you're an awesome God. You're a big God. I believe you for big things. You know what I need. Let there be a testimony of you in my life. Amen? Come on, let's give him some praise. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. We worship you, God.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencers.church.